KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number is 0187-4685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Good morning, Napa Valley. It is time for another episode of All Things Napa. And we have alcohol in the studio right now. Is that correct?
Not exactly.
It is alcohol, but it is not of the drinking ilk. Welcome, you guys. Before we get started, I just wanted to do a little shout out to my new friends, a delightful couple, Glenn and LaVon, that I had the pleasure of meeting and spending a couple of hours with yesterday. In fact, probably only about 16 hours ago. Very down-to-earth, genuine people who, like me, are pro-business and like you, pro-capitalism, and therefore I hope will be fans of this show because, of course, this show's aim is to unabashedly support local businesses. So welcome, Glenn and LaVon, to our listening audience. And welcome our in-studio guests returning for their second visit here, both Jason and Jonathan Hooten. Jonathan, obviously, frequently goes by the nickname Hootie.
That is correct. And most of your listeners probably know me from the voice of the Napa Silverados.
Yes. And just go ahead and say what Tito wants to see.
See you win. That's right. Hey, Silverado fans, thank you for tuning in to All Things Napa today. But I must digress. We are actually here today to talk about RAF Distillery's new business pivot.
And there's so many pivots that the pandemic has caused, but this has been a very successful pivot. So when you were on the show a couple of months ago, in fact, I think it was back in February, that was when we were back in our normal world before all of this started. You were here and we were sampling your gin products, even the absinthe. I think we had some whiskey that day, which is really weird at 9 a.m. But we partook in those beverages, little sips anyway. But things are a lot different for you guys now, and that's what we're going to talk about. So why don't we just dive right in and I suppose give us a little background on the distillery, the history of you guys, so that everything is put into proper context, because you didn't start out with this new product. You were making spirits.
Yeah, but in case you missed the last episode when we were on All Things Napa, Jason, I'll let you go ahead and give them the kind of the elevator pitch on Raft Distillery and how it came about.
And if that elevator pitch entices them, they can go to kvon.com/allthingsnapa and check out the podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, so Raft Distillery, started back in 2011 on Treasure Island. We're now located over in the Bayview area of San Francisco. But we're known for making Bummer and Lazarus gin. It's a grape-based gin. We also make absinthe, as we talked about this morning, and an agricole-style rum. So everything we do is very craft. We do about 3,000 cases a year. We're pretty small. There's three of us, three owners. And then, of course, Jonathan is part of that as well. Everything we distill on, all our equipment, was actually handmade by our master distiller, Carter Raff.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of the epitome of craft, as I kind of look at it and say, just because, he built all of our stills. Our automated bottling line was all hand-built from scratch.
Wow.
Did everything from milling all the pieces and the rails to actually building the computer inside there and programming everything. So pretty cool. You don't see that every day.
Right. Well, and of course, I'm still hanging on the words grape, as in wine, grape-based gin. That's not exactly a common thing, correct?
No, you see a little bit of it out there. Ciroc vodka is known for using grapes, but we like using the grapes. It's a little more expensive process than using a grain like most people do, but it just creates a much better distillate in the end. It's creamier, smoother. It's much more smooth on the palate.
And for those of us who don't regularly drink gin because of one horrific episode in high school, I would need any gin to be just a little smoother on the palate. So
it's user friendly, that's what I tell people. It's most gins are very overpowerful with the juniper berry, and that's what either people even like that or they don't like that. It's that pine forest taste.
Right.
So while we use a lot of juniper in our gin, we also beef up the other botanicals a little bit. So it's a little more balanced. The juniper is not the rock star in the gin. You have other botanicals, which gives us a lot of different nuances in there. And it's just a much easier gin to drink.
So I digress here just a little bit. When my wife and I were in Belgium a couple of years, well, 6 years ago, there we went to a distillery that made everything from juniper. Is there another spirit that's kind of unique to juniper? Because I didn't like it at all, but I don't remember what they called it.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No.
Well, yeah, I figured if anybody would know, it'd be you.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah. I can call that one.
Okay. It's okay. It's not that important because I didn't like it anyway. I just wanted to know what it was so that I can say no to it in the future, I suppose.
We have the same experience with people when they talk about the absinthe. And a lot of people don't really know what absinthe is, and so when they come up to taste it before they taste it, they'll just know the legend of absinthe,
right?
And that it allows you to see the green fairy, all the myths around
right.
absinthe. And the first thing I do say to them, though, do you like black licorice? And they're like, oh no, I don't like black licorice. Well, you're not going to like absinthe,
right?
And but they don't think to ask that if they don't know what it is. So
right.
it's got a lot of that anise type flavor in
right.
it that people don't know until they actually taste it. And I always kind of say to people, if that's the case, now I get the opposite, right? The people, I love black licorice. Well, you're going to love absinthe then.
Right.
Same thing.
So never before, I love black licorice, but I can't stand absinthe.
Right, that's never
right.
going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah, that's rare.
So, all right, so we've reestablished who you are. I don't think I recall, you may have mentioned it last time, of all of the distilling equipment and everything made by hand, and even the bottling line. I don't recall that from last time, so
yeah.
Nice little extra tidbit for me anyway. And then the pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm.
And well, and let's bring, before we go into that, which is our big reveal here, your Napa association. You guys are both from Napa, right?
Yeah, born and raised here at Queen of the Valley Hospital by the great Dr. Hemphill, who brought in pretty much a lot of people in Napa. But yeah, we're born and raised, and which we thought was a great segue when Jason was starting to look at joining the Raft team and being a part of that. The one thing that he said is, I live in Napa. We're making grape-based gin. So, I mean, the synergy there was automatic.
Right.
You know, but...
And because of your affiliation and residency in Napa, do you source some of those grapes from Napa, even though they're very expensive in Napa compared to, say, the Central Valley?
No, not at all. I mean, it's basically made from California grapes.
Okay.
Yeah, from all over.
That's what I figured.
That would be pretty pricey.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think that it would change the quality of the gin based on it being from one of our Appalachians versus the Central Valley.
No,
so why pay
really,
the extra?
Really, what it's doing is it's giving you mouthfeel. It's giving that smooth mouthfeel from the grape itself. So where grain is going to have that sharper note on the palate, what the grape is doing, it's giving you a base that's creamy and smooth. And that's what we're ultimately looking for when we use grapes for our base spirit.
Okay. All right. Enough.
Although that would be interesting, though, to make a Screaming Eagle gin. Right.
Right.
And then price it at like, I don't know, $1,000 a bottle.
Oh,
I'm sure somebody would buy that.
At least, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, put that on the to-do list.
There you go. Right. Yeah, Heidi Barrett, if you're listening, will let us know if we can buy some grapes from you.
All right. So let's do this big reveal. The pandemic happened and you guys just wanted to help out. You knew that there was a shortage of hand sanitizing products on the market. So you produced some, put it out there basically at cost just to help the community.
Well, it actually it's funny, Lee. It started by we have a kind of like a monthly conference call, and we're always taking a look at what our numbers look like. And when the pandemic kind of started, and we kind of looked around having our conference call late March. So it's after things have kind of been announced. We looked at our sales, and the sales for our gin and everything actually were doing quite well, believe it or not, because, well, people had to stay home. So
right.
They were out purchasing more and more alcohol and buying it at retail. So I actually joked on the call. I said, well, I'm starting to see people make hand sanitizer. I mean, we should make hand sanitizer. And it was just a flippant comment because I didn't even know if we could. And towards the end of the conversation, Jason and Carter, both Carter Raff, said, let's go back to that comment. We could make hand sanitizer. And I started to think about, and as they're talking, I'm Googling what's in hand sanitizer, literally Googling right. What's in hand sanitizer, like four or five basic ingredients, which we can all get at the distillery level. So we get off the call, about a week goes by, and we have another call. And in that call was, we're going to do this. We're going to do this because we need to. We need to come to action.
So
I get emotional about it because
all the people
it was
all on the call.
That.
Were all the people on the call jumping on Google and doing
yes.
equal research but independent of one another?
Absolutely.
So a week later, everybody throws their research in.
We throw our research in, and boy, we had research, more of the research than we ever did. I know more about hand sanitizer than I know about gin now at this point. And I'm sure Carter and Jason could say the same thing. But when we really got down to how we were going to pivot and make this happen, mind you, everybody else that had a small distillery across the U.S. started thinking the same thing.
Sure.
So once we started looking at ingredients, once we started looking at raw materials, the first thing that we noticed was containers. We started to go after our own resources to figure out what container we were going to use. And the shortages were just all over the board. You know, everything we looked at, there was just not enough lead time. They've already got orders filled. So they really went to go concentrate more on the formula, and we'll worry about getting the containers, but can we get it through our system, through our head filler? What will it work once we get it done? And can we get the rest of the raw ingredients that you find in hand sanitizer? Jason, you want to talk about the raw ingredients and how we got through that?
Yeah. So what we do is, you know, after we researched it, we looked and we looked at World Health Organization, and that's the formula that we go by. And what they recommend for coronavirus is 80% ethanol alcohol.
Because not all hand sanitizers are created equal.
Correct. And so when you look at some of the commercial brands out there, Germex and some of those like that, you know, they're a lower percentage. They're around 62%, 66% is what we saw. So after looking at CDC and World Health Organization, what they recommend, we said, you know, that's how we want to build it. We want to build it at the max, at the 80% ethanol alcohol. So there's also some hydrogen peroxide in there and glycerin, so your skin doesn't dry out. And so that's kind of where we went with it. We immediately got our labels registered with the FDA because we wanted to make sure we did everything correct. We did our drug facts. Everything is on the label. You know, we wanted to make sure it was done proper and correct.
And that wasn't a requirement. It was just you guys taking the extra step to make sure that the world knew, hey, this is different. This is superior to any of the other products on the market, and we just want you to know that.
Right, and I think regulations kind of loosened up a little bit just because of the pandemic. But we definitely wanted to go by what they recommended. You know, the drug facts was a big one. We want to make sure that was all proper and correct.
Sure.
Because this is not our, you know, wasn't our thing. This, you know, we make spirits.
Right.
We're not in the hand sanitizer business. So we did want to make sure that it was done right.
Right. It's funny you say that the requirements were relaxed a little bit. Regulations were relaxed because, I mean, you could buy alcohol to go from any Napa restaurant for the same reason. And it's amazing what government can do if they really set their minds to do something and change it quickly for the good of the community. And yet in the normal environment, it takes government forever to get anything done. So that's really good news that they were able to get all of those things for you so quickly.
Right. And then, you know, we're regulated by the TTB. So TTB is, you know, they said, hey, we're going to allow distilleries to make this under your license.
And tell everybody what TTB is.
That is the Tobacco and Trade Bureau.
Okay.
And so they regulate the alcohol industry. So, you know, we looked at, they said, hey, we'll let you make this for a certain amount of time. I think it was back, it was supposed to go to June or July, and then they extended that to the end of the year. So I would imagine they're going to probably extend that again by the end of the year, just because I still think there's a need for hand sanitizer.
Yeah, and I, you know, even if we come out with a vaccine in say the next 3 or 4 months, I think the pandemic has changed the way we all function, and I think that we'll all be using hand sanitizer for a good long time, if not. Just part of our lives now.
Yeah, I think it's a game changer for sure.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it's going away. Yeah, I mean, every day we're walking around in masks and washing our hands more frequently than we ever have.
Right,
which we should have been doing all along.
right.
But you know, also talking about the TTB, you know, one of the things that the TTB allowed that makes distilleries able to make hand sanitizers, they don't tax us on the alcohol that we produce for hand sanitizer. That's how the TTP makes their money. So they're literally giving up millions and millions of dollars right now with distilleries to make hand sanitizer, where normally they would be taxed on everything that we would make going out the door as actual alcohol.
Right.
So all the, what he's saying is, so all the ethanol alcohol that we produce, that we put in there, normally we pay an excise tax to the TTB and state taxes, but that we actually go in and denaturize it. So we put a bittering agent in there, and now you can't drink it. So once you do that, you don't have to pay those excise taxes.
Oh, okay. Just to, I mean, to make sure that somebody's not so desperate to get a little high, they drink your hand sanitizer.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. And that stuff is strong. Believe me. I mean, I got a little bit on my hands. It's all you could taste the whole day. I mean, you couldn't get it off your hands. So
it's something you were tasting it and it was being ingested into your body through the pores of your hands?
No. So like once I had it on my hands, I would maybe go touch something or grab something to drink. And because that bittering agent was on my hands, it was so strong that I can actually taste it.
Okay. Just the bittering agent, not the hand sanitizer.
Just the bittering strong. Agent. Okay. But that tells you how strong it is. I mean, right. In about a 270-gallon batch, we put about 3/4 of an ounce. That's how powerful the bittering agent is.
Oh, man.
And it does a trick. If you tried to, you know, put some on your tongue, it's very bitter. You would not want to drink it. So it's to deter people from drinking hand sanitizer.
Right. I never thought of such a thing because, I just don't have that desire to...
You know, not that I would want to drink anything that says hand sanitizer in big bold print.
Right. Let me just go on record and say I've never eaten a Tide Pod either. So.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
I'll take your word for it,
Jonathan. I'm just kidding. So that was the first stage when we were going through this piece that we all agreed on. Just like our gin, we wanted it to be a quality product, regardless, and. I mean, if you walk into a Safeway and you look at the gin section, you'll see there's $50, $40, $30 gin, and there's $5 gin. And now if you walk to the hand sanitizer section, there's $8 hand sanitizer and $2 hand sanitizer. And we said we're going to be the high-end, literally, craft hand sanitizer for people, if you will, like the Toms of Maine type. Right. Thing, you know, we're really putting in quality ingredients, quality products. We're taking our time to give you a quality product that you can trust in.
Right.
And that had to be, that was not going to be negotiable whatsoever, even though it was hand sanitizer. And everyone agreed.
Right.
So it was really cool to see everybody kind of come together and agree on, it may be just hand sanitizer, but it's quality.
Well, and I think a lot of times in any product that is in the premium category of somewhat of a ubiquitous product, a lot of times it's just marketing. But I don't think that's the case here. You're not drying out people's hands as much because of the way that you've made it. What are some of the other things that make it a superior product and not just a premium price because it's handmade?
Well, the other thing that we talked about was leaving our carbon footprint into something that we didn't. We wanted to take the environment into consideration.
Right.
So because of our gin and absinthe and aroma, we know, you know, glass is 100% recyclable. That's never an issue. When it came to trying to figure out which container we were going to use and looking at how much PET is actually on the market and out there and how much of it does really get recycled, what I wanted to stress was I want us to, first of all, not create something in a spray bottle. I wanted the guys to create something that was a refillable bottle because a lot of people have hand sanitizer bottles or spray bottles around their house that they can use for just this purpose.
Right.
Which actually brought us to making it be a liquid format versus a gel. And the reason for that was quite simply, I said, guys, we need to do something that's about a hand and surface sanitizer.
Not one or the other.
Not one or the other. You need to be able to use it on your hands, spray it on your counters, wipe down chairs, wipe down anything that you touch, and have the industrial use behind it for being liquid.
Right.
And everyone thought that was a brilliant idea, so we went that route. But when it got to the containers, and as I mentioned before, it was very hard to source what we were sourcing. But what we did find was there are certain plastics that you can go after that actually, if they end up in the landfill, deteriorate faster than other PET type products that are out there, depending on how much of it is made with recycled versus non-recycled PET.
Right.
So when we found the source for our container, because of the fact that it's very much built in a way to break down a little bit faster in case it does end up in a landfill, when we actually started bottling the bottles, because the way they were designed, we were doing all this by hand. We were filling them by hand, putting the caps on hand, but we would come across ones where you'd squeeze them and there'd be little tiny pinholes in the bottle.
Hmm.
Because it wasn't structured to take a full pressurized pressure on the bottle.
Right.
Contact the manufacturer, and sure enough, they said that they would definitely look into it, and they fixed it right away, and we were able to get that taken care of. But we were very excited to know that we were trying to think about the environment and think about landfill and think about carbon footprint. And I don't know if a lot of listeners know this or not, but I mean, the plastic caps on these bottles that are out there today is made from an entirely different process than the actual bottle itself. And so a lot of times that became an issue during the recycle process. And now that's actually been fixed over the last couple of years. But they would separate the caps and the ring from the bottle and recycle in separate situations.
Very interesting. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue this really fascinating conversation with Jonathan and Jason from Raff Distillery, who makes gin and other spirits, and now the best hand sanitizer on the market. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number 01874685.
Okay, we are back. We are back here at All Things Napa. We're talking to Jason and Jonathan with Raff Distillery. And we've talked about spirits, we've talked about hand sanitizer, but there's so much more, gentlemen. Where are we going to go next here?
So I wanted to kind of not be like Bill Nye the Science Guy, but kind of talk a little bit about, you know, bacteria and germs and what is what and how does it all kind of fit in.
Why would you want to talk about that when we're talking about hand sanitizer?
Right?
Come on, stay on the program, Jonathan.
But it's important for people to kind of just get a landscape of when you do pick up hand sanitizer. And let us state, first of all, any hand sanitizer out there is better than no hand sanitizer.
Right.
So let's make sure that that's clear. And why the difference between those that are 60%, 70%, or 80% ethanol-based? So what I wanted to do is just give you kind of a real simple landscape. Germs, okay? So the way that germs are kind of like a generic term, but it's really a group of things like bacteria, virus, fungi, those are all germs,
right?
Okay, so let's start with just the basic one, bacteria. So bacteria, basically, they're like little tiny single-celled organisms, and they get their nutrients from their environments, okay? So in some cases, that could be just, you know, being on something and then transfer. But what's worse is a virus. And I say that because viruses are actually smaller than bacteria, okay? And they aren't even a full cell. They actually need a host to survive. And that host becomes your body, okay? And that's why when we decided to go with the WHO, the WHO has done enough research with scientists and everything else to say that they needed something that shows that it kills not just bacteria, but virus bacteria as well. And that's why we went with 80% as the recommended proof, if you will,
right,
that's going to kill at the virus level,
right,
which is even smaller than the bacteria level. And I think that that's important for people to understand that when things say kills 99% germs, well, which germs in that category are they? Is it the bacteria germs? Is it the virus germs? Is it fungi? I know that the brand Lysol and the way that it's built and designed is actually for all of that at that level. It's a very high level.
But it's not. That's not necessarily a hand sanitizer. That's a cleaning.
That's a disinfectant agent that is actually designed more for surface than for hands because it's so
potent. I've actually seen on bottles kills 99% of bacteria.
Yes.
And when they specify bacteria, they're pretty much making it obvious that it's not killing virus germs.
Well, exactly. And it may kill some virus germs, but as I mentioned earlier, that's even, you know, the virus is even smaller cell. And it does need a host in order to continue on. So we were pretty adamant that ours was going to be at the strict level that we wanted to adhere to put it out there for everyone. And it was an interesting conversation when we see the pricing that was out there for things that were less proof than that and yet higher priced. Where again, we wanted to make sure that this was something that was handcrafted, high quality, but affordable. People could buy it because they needed it.
Right.
We also donated a ton of it as well in throughout Napa Valley as well. We brought back gallons of it. We have it in an 8-ounce, a 16-ounce, a 750, and a 1-gallon. And we brought back cases of this and donated it all around the community here in the gallon format.
A 750, just because it's grape based.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the 750 size here in a second when we talk about our distribution. And there's a reason for that. But again, I just want to make sure that everybody understood why we decided to go as high as we did and be out there on the market. And I got to tell you, from a community of watching other spirit companies jump on board with this project and do the same thing in their communities was amazing. The amount of communication that we had with other distilleries has been simply amazing. We reached out to other distilleries, asked them about certain things. They've reached out to us. And typically when you're in a competitive situation of making spirits, that doesn't normally happen. Rarely does Jim Beam call Jack Daniels and talk about, hey, are you guys having a problem with these oak barrels? Because we are too.
Right.
Right? So I got to say the community of the small craft distilleries really came together in a time of need and tried to help each other.
Made it a collaborative effort for the good of the entire community.
Absolutely.
It very much reminds me of what Robert Mondavi did for the wine industry here in the Napa Valley and how he established, hey, why don't we help each other with harvest, or we're having this pest issue, you know, and that's just the way that it still continues to be.
Absolutely. Here. So absolutely. Yep.
I'll be curious post-pandemic, say 5 years from now, if that collaborative spirit within the craft distillery is still a thing, or if everybody goes back to...
I don't know. Jason, you've been to a lot more tasting events with other distilleries. I mean, even before COVID, did it feel like it was pretty close-knit even back then?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows everybody. It's a small community. We're all in the same business. You know, you've got your guys that are, will stab you in the back. I mean, that's
right. Okay, so it's like any other industry. You got your team players and you got your jerks.
No, but for the most part, I mean, the craft distilling industry, it's a fun industry. There's a lot of great people in there. And really, we're all about just making good products and putting it on the market and being successful.
Right.
So if you don't mind, Lee, we'll talk about how distribution happened.
Yeah. You kind of touched on the supply issues just because of this instant demand for everybody. All the distilleries needed the same things. Was there anything more that you wanted to hit about that because of the packaging and the raw materials that you needed and this mass demand for those same things?
It was just, like I mentioned before, it was insane. We probably went through, I don't know, Jason, probably a good 10 to 20 suppliers trying to just contact and find out if they had any containers or any vessels we could purchase.
No, we contacted quite a few, and more than what we usually normally deal with. But there was a lot of stuff, a lot of that stuff's made in China. So it was on back order. So,
irony.
Yeah, so... So you're looking at like 16 weeks lead time for some of this stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You said, we got to get something out sooner than that. And so that's one of the reasons we decided to go with the packaging that we did do. We were able to get a little bit quicker. Like John said, it's a recyclable package, which is nice, 100% recyclable. And instead of putting more pumps out in the market, things that are taking up landfill, we said, hey, let's do a refill package. A lot of people already have pumps. Let's do a refill package that they can just go in and use the same pump that they're using instead of tossing it in the garbage and letting it, fill up the landfills.
Right.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, even like when we talked about the caps and the vessels themselves, the pumps are made of a completely different plastic than the vessel that houses the hand sanitizer in it as well.
Right.
And that becomes another, environmental issue that you're trying to avoid at the same time.
Sure.
By putting that out there. Not to mention the expense of it. As well, and to keep the cost down, so that again, it's something that is affordable and it can be accessed by everyone.
Well, and a lot of plastic recyclable is not being recycled anymore because China's no longer buying it from us.
Yes, so. that is the other issue as well. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about distribution.
So distribution. So when we decided we were doing it for the community around us and trying to get it out through our tasting room, having people come by the tasting room, pick it up and sell it in the quantities we had, Jason has this incredible relationship with Safeway, with our gin. And I kind of, again, halfway joked, and I said, you might want to mention to see if that's something that they'd be interested in, although being in the industry as well, I know that it's not going to be that buyer. It's going to be in a different part of the company. The trick is to get that buyer to get from his desk over to the other desk over in health and beauty to get them to call you back.
To even care enough to make that extra effort.
Yeah, because for him, he's like, I just got to worry about my category. I don't need to worry about their category.
Right.
So I'm going to turn it over to Jason to talk about how that whole thing transpired at Safeway.
Okay.
Yeah, part of the problem was we had a tasting room, and it was shut down because of COVID. So we couldn't have a functioning tasting room. So where else can we sell this? We did a little bit of curbside business, but, ultimately what the goal was like, how do I get this out to people sooner than later? And so, the first... thing I thought about was like, well, we're doing business with Safeway and some of these bigger retailers. Let me reach out to them and see if it's something they'd be interested in. And I got quick response back. So Safeway was the first to jump on board. We were able to build quite a bit. They start bringing in our 8 ounce and 16 ounce to their warehouse in Tracy. So now that goes out to all stores in Northern California. That's really basically what started it all. And then behind that came Costco. Costco said, we have to get on board with a sanitizer. And I had been talking to them as well. So we ended up building a separate package for them in a 750 ml bottle.
So you were talking to them probably initially about your gin.
Mm-hmm.
And same person at Costco makes the decision for a hand sanitizer?
Yeah, and the person I reached out there was again in the alcohol category, who I've known for a lot of years as well, and said, hey, I reached out and said, is this something you guys would be interested in? I have the tools to make it. And they said, yeah, we would be interested. And so it went over to the other department, for people that buy those types of products for Costco. And one thing led to the next, and after about probably 3 or 4 weeks of back and forth, talking and trying to create a package that was unique for just Costco. This is what we developed, was a 750 ml bottle for them in a 12 pack that sits stacked up in Costco on pallets.
Nice.
Have you ever bought wine or booze at Costco, Lee?
Yeah.
You notice when you walk in, it's in the mother carton, the case that the 750s come in, but they're kind of cut halfway so you can see the handles and grab them. So they actually asked us to design a similar looking type package, which was nice because it really gave us an opportunity to build a mother carton for this product in such a way that the branding was just in your face, huge. You knew what it was right when you walked by. You could see it from seven aisles down in big, bold letters, hand sanitizer. And that was important,
right,
that we had that opportunity to do that with them. I couldn't believe, and I know he kind of downplays it a little bit that Safeway called us, but I just want everyone that's listening to know that when Safeway calls you, that's very rare.
Oh, sure.
It's like what you talked about. It's like Amazon calling you. Hey, do you have a product we could sell?
Yeah.
Right? So rare.
Well, and he even talked about, 3 to 4 weeks later. Even that is so lightning fast to bring a new product into a chain the size of Safeway. That's just amazing.
I've been in this career, consumer packaged goods, for over 20 some odd years, and I've never seen a vendor form get turned around so quickly that now RAF is a direct vendor to Safeway. And I know for most companies that try to be a direct vendor, and when I say direct, it means you're taking your product that you produce and taking it to their warehouse, and then they're distributing it to the store. That is a much lengthier process than what we went through. It was lightning fast, to your point.
Right.
It was crazy.
I lost my thought there because I was so impressed with that 3 to 4 week period.
Yeah. Well, so in Safeway, it's over 200 stores in Northern California. They took on the 8 ounce and the 16 ounce refill. Now, I didn't get a chance to go over each one of how the orders were being put together and they were going out to the stores. So I had to kind of wait before I visited stores to see what the actual ordering looked like and what they were trying to bring into the stores. We were walking into these huge in displays of nothing but RAF hand sanitizer. It was incredible to see. And people, as I was standing there in some of these stores watching people walk up, they weren't just grabbing one or two bottles. They were grabbing 4, 5, 6 bottles at a time. And I was just, it's moving.
Oh, yeah.
I get emotional just thinking about it because we wanted to get this out to everyone. It wasn't about making money. It wasn't about trying to make a buck in a situation like this. It was about how do we take a quality product and get it into, more hands.
Pun intended.
No, definitely pun intended. Yeah. How do we get it into more hands than just out of our little tasting room up there in the Bayview? And I was just really moved that Safeway was so quick to the call to make that happen for us.
So in Safeway, it's branded as RAF.
That is correct.
RAFF. That's your brand. In case people, because we're all wearing masks in the studio, you can't discern that we're not saying RAFT as in a flotation device. We are saying RAF, RAFF. Now, in Costco, is it a Kirkland brand or is it a RAF?
It is not. We did not go the private label route. They actually, Jason can probably even talk more about this, they actually wanted to make sure that it was designated RAF distillery hand sanitizer. That was basically the conversation you had, right?
Yeah. So what, because we do a little bit of business with Costco, with our gin, and what they wanted to do was say, hey, we want to have a local distillery make this for us. So having a local piece on the shelf, they said, hey, and I offered, I go, hey, I'll make it, under the Kirkland brand if that's something you guys want to do. They said, no, we'd actually rather kind of showcase a local distillery making this and to show that it's a higher end craft type of product. And so they said, put your logo on there and put your distillery name on there. We want to showcase that. And so they've been really supportive about that, which is great. And we, since the beginning, we use the two dogs, Bomber and Lazarus, which are actually on our gin bottle. And they're kind of the forefront of our company now as our logo. So it's been kind of nice that we can put our name on there. And it shows, it points people to our distillery in San Francisco that, they may pick up our sanitizer and go, well, it looks like there's a distillery I haven't seen. And hopefully they pop over that way as well. So it's been nice that they supported us in that aspect.
So it's virtually the same label, obviously, just the
different. Much different.
Oh, it is different.
Well, okay. Yeah. The dogs are on there.
So same logo, but different label entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You'll notice if you take a look, even at our label, if you walk into Safeway, RAF is actually downplayed on the label, and hand sanitizer is across the top.
Hand is real big.
Yeah, make no mistake. But people that do recognize the two dogs knows that that would be the secondary clue that this is, this is like Bummer and Lazarus. This is the company that makes Bummer and Lazarus gin. And one of the kind of indirect consequences that happened by us doing that with Costco is I think we were only in really one or two Costcos at the time with the gin. But now that they brought in the hand sanitizer in the Costcos in California, Jason has gotten a few calls from them to say, hey, we're going to go ahead and expand your gin into a few more Costcos in Northern nice. California.
Nice.
Because you guys did help to react to what we needed to do and get this out there to everybody. And that was actually very cool on their part. They didn't have to do that. They could have said one has nothing to do with the other, which was fine. But again, to get that phone call right. from them to do that, rare. Right. So rare.
Well, and that just goes to show you do the right thing for the community and not self-serving, and you're rewarded. Karma in the positive sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So how many Costcos are we in now with the gin?
Like about five.
Five? You know. Yeah, went from basically one to five.
That's a nice.
So that works.
Yeah.
They've been pretty supportive of us. You know, I mean, we're a local distillery, and they try to keep us in rotation once in a while, which is one of the reasons, you know, they were talking to us about the hand sanitizer.
So the retail aspect, I can just picture your gin and your hand sanitizer in every bar so that they're serving your gin and they're wiping down the bar and the chairs and things with the hand sanitizer. What's your distribution like in the restaurant world?
Well, as you've seen with the rollbacks and everything, we've actually tried to pivot those conversations now, even with the in San Francisco, like it's still a problem in with restaurants and there. So we have our sales guy, Dave Stoop, another co-owner. He's actually been out talking to them to get them to bring the hand sanitizer in. And they've been very receptive to that. That's a much longer process because you don't have a full distribution network that can go out and take care of that.
It's one at a time.
It's one at a time, and it's calling your key accounts and making sure, first of all, look, I'm not even trying to really sell it to you. I just need to know if you're having a hard time getting it, we've got you covered.
Right.
I've sold it to a couple of wineries here in Napa Valley. Andretti was my first call that I got. They were having a really hard time getting a hand sanitizer / surface sanitizer for their winery. Roger Delormier gave me a call. He said, I understand you guys are making hand sanitizer. I don't care what it costs. I need four cases immediately.
Wow.
So I went out there, showed them what we had. They loved it. They bought cases, and they're continuing to buy cases. And now we're offering that. We have enough inventory that we can now offer that to any of the wineries here. If they want to send an email to even me, John, J-O-N, at raftdistillery.com, if they're needing to get gallon hand sanitizer, quality hand and surface sanitizer, we will deliver it. We all have Square on our phones in the company, so we take credit cards. We do it right there. And even for consumers, I know that my son has mentioned to a lot of people when he does the DoorDash or Uber Eats delivery, if you need hand sanitizer, I have it in my car. I'm happy to give it for you. And he's been selling it as well for the delivery to people. So it's all about just making sure that everybody has it and can get it, because it is hard right now still to get the ramp ups for a lot of these companies, the more corporation type companies, to ramp up to get all those industrial needs out to those businesses.
Right. So let's talk about, and we've only got a couple minutes left, but the fact that you're trying to supply five stores of Costco and all these Safeway stores, 200 some?
Over 200, yeah.
Manufacturing, production has got to be, you know, are you running 24/7 now?
We, towards the end, Jason will tell you, they were doing three shifts basically. Wow. at a point. And you had to, in order to, because again, it's filled by a machine that only has 10 heads to fill 10 bottles at a time, but the labels are put on by hand, the caps are put on by hand, they're packaged in the case by hand, they're stacked by, everything is just like our gin. It's all by hand. We don't have hardly any automation past that point of it just going from a huge bin into the 10 filling heads
And after that, it's all hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have the 10 filling bins as opposed to... You
know, of actually trying to take a hose and fill everything
with, with a funnel.
With a funnel.
Because I filled from the plastic bottles, I filled our pump spray 6 ounce this morning. And I did it one by one with a funnel.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So that's... So, the last thing I wanted to mention is we are starting to talk about maybe in the future, in the next couple of months, we are talking about RAF Pharmaceutical Division. And maybe we spin off another division of RAF and continue to make this quality hand sanitizer as long as the consumers give us permission to do so by continuing to purchase it and make it a part of their habits.
That's great.
So we're looking at that.
Well, our whole point having you guys here is to make the Napa Valley aware that there is a premium product out there that has greater effectiveness, and it supports local guys that grew up in Napa, and that's what this show is all about. So I thank you guys for being here. And continued success to you. And anybody has any questions, they can always email me, LeeWMiller@gmail.com, and I will get you in touch with Brothers Hooten from RAF Distillery.
Lee, thank you so much. We actually are donating a gallon of our hand sanitizer to the KVON KVYN station here.
Oh, nice.
For them, and we brought you a couple of the 8 ounce bottles to keep here in the studio as well.
Very nice. Thank you guys very much. Okay, next week we will be back. Until then, remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.